spend. So there's more money going in on Tampa for tonight's game.
Well, of course, you're lucky that I'm here. I thought people were going to find both Dave and I dead after the game with Cincinnati. I mean, I don't know if either of you watched it. It was unbelievable.
Well, how many field goals did they miss? Five field goals?
Four or five, and of course an extra point. And Crosby, he doesn't do that. He really
right.
doesn't. And then, of course,
well, she's talking about
no,
Crosby
I'm talking
the
about
Packers.
The Packers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Crosby, the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that game, and then, of course, when it went into overtime, and still, I mean, it, and I don't know if for some reason we get the NFL package, and they were going to go to the Dallas game. So right before the last field goal, and up until that time, Crosby had missed them all, they cut off to go to the Dallas game.
Oh, well, I was watching it, and I saw them that because he said contractually we have to go to the Giants-Cowboys, but we'll keep you posted, and then they did.
Well,
but you were wondering what was going on.
But see, what happens? Well, what happens is when we tape it. So when we tape it, when it went, we saw that beginning of the Dallas game, and then I guess it's not a tape. What is it? Whatever we do, we want to miss a commercial, so we DVR it. But then it ends. So what happened is we went to the Dallas game where they said, oh, we'll keep you updated, and then our DVR, it cut off at that point. So we were
sounds
scrambling.
Sounds like a devious plot, Bill.
Oh, we were scrambling to try to find
you're right, it was Crosby. I was thinking of Jake Elliott and the Eagles who had
right.
some problems. But doing what I watched the game.
Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within
well, but he, I have to tell you, he had a streak a few years ago where he missed a few, but he is considered, he probably is considered the most accurate kicker, isn't he? I mean, he really is.
Well, he's certainly in the top three.
And but it just
Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial
well,
Services.
So in overtime.
Advisor,
yeah.
Ameriprise Financial Services,
sort of like
member FINRA and SIPC.
Hit the post.
Hit the post, you know.
And it doesn't go in because I've seen some where it hits the post and then goes in.
Oh, yeah,
and of course,
did you know?
Remember the Eagles-Bears game? The Eagles beat the Bears to go to the playoff game. And you have the double doink
yep.
one post, hit the other post, and bounce back into fair territory. Instead of the end zone. And that's amazing. I've never seen a football hit the post twice, except in
the voice of business.
Well, I mean, they, you know, they actually, the two teams missed three field goals in the last 2 minutes. I mean, that's how tight it was. And then, of course, you always think in overtime, whoever wins the coin toss has a real advantage. Although I have to say, I'm so pleased that they changed those overtime rules. Remember when all they needed to do was kick a field goal? And that was just almost a given that whoever got the coin toss and whoever won that would kick a field goal and they'd win. So at least they now require both teams to have possession of the ball. But I have a question for you guys.
Shoot!
I don't understand this. When at one point the Packers tried a field goal on the third down. Now I always assumed that the only reason you would do that is if you got a fourth down. But when he missed it, he didn't get the fourth
down. Well, no. If you kick it, you don't get fourth down. They snap it on third down in case it's a bad snap. You fall on it, and then you still have fourth down. But once you kick it, you've surrendered the ball.
Well, I didn't realize that because it made no sense to me. Why wouldn't they try to advance closer to the goal? Why wouldn't they use their third
down? Well, you balance that. Normally, you're right.
It was almost tough. I think we only had 9 seconds.
Correct.
They could have run another play.
Yes.
But I think the point was you were close enough, and why not snap it on third down in case you have a bad snap?
Okay. Well, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I've seen it a few times. It happens a lot in the rain. You see it because they're more concerned about not being able to handle a snap, you know?
I'll tell you what, I've seen that twice. Once was in Philly at Veterans Stadium.
Tell me what all of that means to me. How does it affect 23 trillion this and 20 billion that this person did this? What's it mean to me? Now listen, so it caused me to stand back and think, is there a way that we can use this show to try to help both sides of a different coin, both the employees
and Tom Dempsey. Tom Dempsey, the kicker,
63-yarder.
Yeah, it's got to be like 70. One of the things
that isn't that the record?
No, the record's been broken since that.
But he did set a record
at that time, 63 yards.
Well, what's the record now?
I think it's like 65 or 60. 68.
Wow,
it's coming. Yeah, that was just got set a few weeks ago.
Wow, I've looked at 83 different cases of failure, and every single one of them.
And they moved them back a little bit.
Yeah, but they still measure it the same distance.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
they measure it the same.
If the ball was spotted on the 30-yard line, it's a 40-yard field goal.
Right.
I've organized an event.
We have an interesting game tonight. Throughout the rest of
belt. You may think so.
I want to keep harping on this because you know.
Well, I think it is an interesting game in a couple of ways. I mean, I think, and really, I mean, the Cowboys. They thoroughly beat the Giants, who are just undermanned. They had five starting players out. But even there, I really like the Cowboys' offense. They've done a great job. I never was a big believer in Dak Prescott. He has impressed me. He's come all the way back from a severe injury to play very well. I've never called him elite before. I think, is he Aaron Rodgers now? Is he Tom Brady now? Okay, I don't even think he's Drew Brees, but there's a very short list that would be in front of him.
Right.
Five or six people. Justin Herbert in San Diego is just an up-and-coming star. So he's really impressed me. The receivers they have are really great. You know, the Dallas defense is going to – that's going to be their Achilles heel. They're not going to win anything, which is why I can smile and throw accolades on them, because the Cowboys aren't going to win anything. But for the rest of the NFC East, if you are Washington – let's see what Taylor Heineke can do. If you are Philly, let's see what Jalen Hurts can do. If you're the Giants, you're already seeing what Daniel Jones can do. And
isn't he out now?
Well, with the concussion, they don't know if he's going to play Sunday or not. I don't know. But he has, through the first five games, played his statistics and QBR is in the top 10. Jones has not been the problem. It's been the defense, which has not made a key stop. But the bottom line is, again, tonight, I think if you are the Eagles, you are hoping maybe you get up a score or two. There's a couple of turnovers. Without some help, there's no way you're going to beat this Bucs team. But I think if you are the Eagles, you're looking to see how does Jalen Hurts measure up. They put all their eggs in one basket with him. He clearly has underperformed the first five games. He should be better than what he's shown so far. The question is how much. We know he's a little better than what he's shown. Okay? Question is how much. Can he step up against a top defense with an excellent pass rush? Can he get the job done? And Bill, I think that's really worth it. If you're Philly, you really almost don't care. It'd be nice to pull an upset, but you really don't care from this point in. How good am I set up for next year?
That's really the issue, because I think...
I think so.
You know, because, let's face it, the Eagles receiving core is not that great.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think the Eagles are going to have egg on their face with with D'Antre Smith because they quote-unquote swiped him from the Giants. The Giants are snickering. They got Kadarius Toney, and this kid is, to me, he's way bigger, almost as fast. I think long-term, he would, at the 20th pick, and they and by swapping, they got a Chicago's first-round pick next year. I think they got a better receiver. I really do. I think the Eagles took a big chance with that. He's a small. He's 160 pounds. That's my weight.
Okay. But remember also the Eagle offensive line is already banged up.
Yeah.
You've lost a couple.
No, but you. The only reason I said that was you focused on the receivers, which I think you were right to do because I think the point you're leading to is that with a good set of receivers, only then can you really see what Jalen Hurts can do. And analogizing that to the Giants, the last year, he had literally taxi squad receivers. So this offseason, they loaded up with, and what's happened, they're all injured again. But you basically got two or three very good receivers and a good tight end there, and that's why Jones has shown so much more. I think if you give Jalen Hurts a couple of decent receivers, he could do a lot better.
That's exactly the point. And remember, he was drafted because not for his arm, but for his running ability. His arm is.
I think his arm is still above average.
But you know what?
It's not great, but it's above average. Yeah.
But any quarterback, they shouldn't draft for their running ability because the first couple years, maybe they can do it. But after that, they just can't.
History is replete with those examples, mm-hmm. the most notable of which being the Washington football team's choice of quarterback with RG3. When did he last? 1 year.
Right.
Okay? And that's if you are a fan of the Eagles, every time Hurts takes off, and he is quick, but he's one hit away. Look what happened to Wentz. Wentz, who really wasn't a runner, but he ran, and he didn't run smartly, and look what happened to him. His career has basically been ruined because of that. Could Hurts be a little luckier? Yeah, I think Hurts is smarter than Wentz, way smarter, and his instincts are way better. I think Hurts, when he runs with the ball, the way he moves, I watch, and by the way, every Eagle fan should have sent a dozen roses to Sam Darnold this week because with three interceptions, that's why the Eagles came back to win that game. I mean, especially the third one,
right.
which was ridiculous. And I think somewhere the Jet fans were smiling. But I think when Hurts takes off, his IQ is very high with that ball. To your point, though, Pat, that's really not what you're looking for. But having said that, Bill, he is good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, but what about them Ravens?
But what if they won? If they even won a playoff game?
Well, no. But their quarterback, I mean, the fact
but if
that
they
won
a playoff game. They're 0-2. Okay, when you start winning in the playoffs that way, you know, and that was what differentiated a little bit some of the two Eagle quarterbacks come to mind. One being Cunningham, Randall Cunningham,
right.
Who was to me the all-time best.
Oh, I love
running quarterback.
Randall. Oh, I love Randall Cunningham.
He won a playoff game. Okay, couple. And for the guy in Baltimore.
Yeah, but he's only been there, what, 2 years?
I think this is his third year.
It may be his third year.
No, I think it is two. I think he started as a rookie.
I think
won the
so
MVP, but he had two full years with a very good team and came up empty in the playoffs. So, but again, I'm not saying that was his fault because I think the Ravens got beat by better teams in the playoffs. But again, if you're extolling the virtues of a running quarterback, you are what your record says
right.
You are.
That's true.
To quote,
although I had to
Super
tell
Bowl
you,
Bill.
I felt so sorry for Wentz and his team to have lost this last game when they were ahead for so much of it.
Yeah, but I think that was why the Eagles realized he wasn't the guy. Biden saying we're making. Okay, what you saw is Wentz, Darnold, they all lost one game. At least that's an expression we use in chess. You lost a one game. They won games, and they lost them. And you can't do that. You see, once in a while, but you can't do it consistently. This has been a consistent trademark of Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz. So,
although I don't think they had the team support that they needed either, but the point is, you're right, and it comes down to, you know, eking that out. And I think I've told you that people in Wisconsin learned a new word, and all of, because of Rodgers. Did I tell you that?
No, no.
Remember after New Orleans, Rodgers came out and said, oh, that was an anomaly.
And yes, the first game, the anomaly.
And everybody in Wisconsin said, what does that mean? So they learned the definition of an anomaly. And I don't mean to say
the
that.
The great communicator, Aaron Rodgers himself. So you have the catch, the run, and now you have the anomaly.
The anomaly. But I have to say, I think that I love to watch Rodgers, and I'm so glad that Cobb got back because he's done a few things now.
Yeah,
and Rodgers.
I think in the
back.
Power rankings, the Packers are fourth, and I did not think they. I knew they were a top 10 team. I did not think the Packers would be ranked that high. I really didn't. But they have shown a lot. And McCarthy has done a decent job. Last year
McCarthy.
Was a very tough job.
LaFleur.
LaFleur. Yeah.
Well, actually,
yeah.
Some people would say McCarthy's done a good job in Dallas.
In Dallas,
but,
yeah.
No, LaFleur, and it seems like he gets along well with Rodgers. That's why I was so surprised when Rodgers was holding out this past summer, because, you know, I could have understood it if he did it with McCarthy. They
to be honest,
like,
and I don't normally back players that go, but I think Rodgers was right. I believe his basic complaint is they're not drafting anybody to help me. They're not putting anybody around me. I can't do it all myself.
Well, and I
haven't drafted a receiver in the first round in like 20 years.
Well, but then they moved up to get Love as a quarterback.
Well, that too.
That
was two drafts ago.
It was, but I think that was more significant. And frankly, I think most of us were scratching our head. Okay, so you need a backup quarterback.
Well, they saw something they really liked, but if they're not rough, they missed on that. If next year they have to play him and he doesn't play well, they're going to look real bad. Now, he did play a little bit in Rodgers' absence. Of course, it was preseason, but he looked pretty good. He's got an arm.
Well, I think that, but I think that, I hope the Packers, and I was really concerned that Rodgers wouldn't come back this year because Love was not ready to take over that position.
Now, that would have been a tough road to hoe.
And I, frankly, as you know, I've often thought that some of these rookies, it would have been much better if they sat out for a year.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, some of them come in. What's happening with Kansas City, though? I mean, who would have thought that?
I think they're defensively, they've got some injured players. And offensively, their offensive line is still not good. And it just goes to show you, you don't have an offensive line, even Patrick Mahomes can't do it. And that, you know, when you look at quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, like Daniel Jones, and they're saying, look, I'm behind a Swiss cheese offensive line. What do you, you know, you've got to factor that in. But hey, moving on to other areas of sports, and I know Bill doesn't really want to address this, but there is another major event
like
going on.
Like something that's called the Red Sox?
And that's the Major League Baseball playoffs, and very exciting stuff. Maybe some surprises here and there, but you have a very exciting ALCS with Houston, Boston again for the third time in 5 years, and you have a situation where Alex Cora is the coach of the Red Sox. He was in the middle of the scandal in 2017 in Houston.
Well, remember?
Oh, really?
He was the ringleader.
Well, you know, you've got a very exciting series here because you've got the Houston Cheaters. Look who's running the Red Hot Red Sox.
But you have to assume that Cora knows he's in a fishbowl and under a microscope, and he changes his underwear at noontime every day. He's got to be absolutely immaculate, okay? So nobody's really worried about that. No, but, you know, a couple of interesting things, and I knew this, but I had forgotten that Alex Cora is 8-0 in playoff series.
I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah. In games, he's like 17-4, right? And he gets a lot out of his players. He gets lucky, but he's got great instincts with these guys. Like, well, who is going to bring it today? And you know,
he got tremendous use out of Nathan Eovaldi, who the Yankees dropped a couple of years ago.
Eovaldi came back from Tommy John. He's had two good years. He's going to start the game tomorrow. He's throwing in the upper 90s. You're hoping to ride. You're hoping he's got four more good starts in him. That's what you need. And Sale, you don't know what you're going to get. He was 5-0, came back, and his last two starts he got shelled, including by the Rays. But they came back to win that game. He gave up five runs. Mm-hmm. They pulled him. And again, this is Cora's magic. Pulls him in the second inning, gets great long release job, and gives the Sox an opportunity to work back, and they came back to win that game. So you don't know what you're going to get with Sale. I think they're going to tread very lightly on the theory that if they put him in and he's a little shaky, pull him early and then give him the 2 days rest, and then if he's only pitched two or three innings, bring him back maybe in game four or game five. You can certainly, if he doesn't pitch well and he's just off, pull him, and because they've got some great long relief guys, and bring him back, because there's still, I think, with Chris Sale, there's a psychological factor there. The guys that big arms and legs flying around, and I think a lot of teams look at him and in the back of their minds are like, hey, here's a guy who was dominant the last 5 years. Maybe he's got it today. Mm-hmm. So I think there's definitely some value there, but Cora's too smart to overplay. That it wouldn't shock me. He said he's going to go Eovaldi, Sale, and Rodriguez. It wouldn't shock me if he starts, if the Red Sox win game one, and that's the key to the series, if they still, all they have to do is get one in Houston, because the 2-3-2 format benefits the visiting team, because not that it's easy to win three in a row, but that's how they beat the Astros the last time. They got a split in Houston and swept them in Fenway. Actually, no, I'm wrong. The other time Houston got the split in Fenway, and the Red Sox swept them in Houston. So that's counter to what I just said. But I think this year, with that crowd coming back from COVID, there is such a home field advantage for both teams.
I agree.
So if you get the split in Houston, I think you really have a big advantage coming home with three games. But I think if Eovaldi steals game one, I think you will see Sale pitch game two.
Let me ask you a question.
And take a shot at it.
Didn't they all your question. Back away from it?
Sure. Then they hit the air brakes. What do you see with
difference
with the, I can't say kids, the young adults
is
going to
be a
college.
Big factor here as it was in the Yankee Red Sox series?
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Bill. I think in the Houston Red Sox series, no, and here's why. They were talking today about how amazingly similarly constructed both teams are.
Oh.
They basically
the teams
get
to the stadiums.
The teams, the players, are the same kind of players. And so whether you're in Fenway or what is it, Minute Maid Park, I think it, I you know, look, I mean, obviously Fenway's a very unique place, but look at what they've done. Well, Jose Altuve, I mean, he is you know, hopefully he's not cheating, but he's done really, really well there. You don't have George Springer to contend with, and that's a benefit. He's playing golf somewhere with the rest of his Blue Jays, but I'm happy not to have to face Springer. It's a great question. I really think at this time of year, that is a really minimal issue. So, I mean, the big thing is pitching, hitting, speed and defense, you know, and boom.
So you think the stadiums really don't make a difference? Is that what you're saying?
I think they've constructed the teams to conform to those stadiums, you know?
Remember something. In Boston, you've got the Green Monster that can turn a double into a single.
And they made a living on that this year. J.D. Martinez, I think, set a major league record with 44 doubles off the wall. Bogaerts has always used the wall. And even Devers, swinging inside out, going with the pitch. Yeah, the Red Sox use the wall a lot. But you know what? A lot of line drive doubles off the wall would be homers elsewhere.
Oh, really?
So, oh, sure, because if you take the trajectory of the ball, instead of hitting a wall 370 feet away, it would go 4.25 and be a home run in most stadiums. What's interesting now is they have those footprints, and when they hit homers now, they actually have a new stat, and they say, well, this would have been a home run in 20 of the 30 stadiums.
Exactly.
It's really incredible what StatCast can do.
But the other thing about Fenway is that deep center field. How far back is the wall?
It's 407, I think, to dead center.
Right.
So it's a long way.
So a lot of home runs are...
Yep. No, that's true.
Yeah. And if you look at the right field line, it's tight there too.
Oh yeah. In both stadiums, correct. I think those are three big factors. Yeah.
More foul territory.
Yep.
We're talking about is more foul balls.
What do you think, Miles? Is it easy path or no?
But some of this goes back to Brenda's point.
I don't think Houston's got the
about making it personal, showing how it actually.
No, I think that's true.
But let me ask you, if there was, well, that's what you're saying. So, what would you think, from a hitter standpoint, the best stadiums to play in?
Renegaderiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents.
Yeah, the ball flies out of there.
Camping and emergency lighting gear, top shelf Rothco outerwear, first aid, and the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods.
I always get that confused. I've heard it both ways, but I believe they've proven scientifically the ball carries further in warm weather.
It does.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet.
Going to be 70
of course,
degrees.
Neither is half as hard.
Fenway will be in the high 40s, low 50s.
Yeah. Deaths are prevented with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now.
Well, that's why they say but it's no accident that Houston and Boston made it, because that small ball. And look what happened in Game 4 with Tampa. There was a hit by Vasquez, okay, legitimate hit to left field. The next batter lays down a perfect bunt to advance him. I mean, you know, that's the kind of stuff, amazingly, we look at that. When we were kids, that's like perfectly pro forma. That's what you do. Now that's only in the National League they do that. American League, they don't do it for a lot of reasons, mostly because they don't want to concede the out. They'd rather have three guys swing. If your leadoff man gets a hit, you got three shots to put the ball out. Because that's the American League baseball. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. In the National League, of course, you have, you know, and it really, that's why I'm a big believer in seeding. Because you had the 106-win Dodgers have to survive a one-game playoff. And now, then you have 106 and 107 teams playing in a fifth game to play an Atlanta team for the National League pennant. So you've pitted these 106 and 107 win teams in situations that they really shouldn't be in if you seeded them, you know, 1 through 4, right. 1 would play 4, 2 would play 3, and then you would wind up with the best records. And of course, that came back to bite Tampa, who was 8 games better than the Red Sox.
Right.
Houston, I think, won 96 games. I think. And I think Chicago won.
Well, didn't somebody only win 88?
No. The Red Sox both went with 92 and 70. But I think Atlanta might have been 188 games. I think one of the National League teams won 88.
Well, let me ask you one other thing, because I remember watching football games at Candlestick in San Francisco. And it was foggy, and the humidity was...
Windswept.
Oh, it was. I mean, it really... So how did that affect baseball when they were playing baseball at Candlestick?
Oh, it's very easy to explain that. If you've got a cold night in October or early November...
And depending on the time frame that we're actually talking about. I mean, Illinois, most of my lifetime...
Well, now it's different, but back in Candlestick...
Candlestick wavered back and forth.
Oh, tell me.
Windy,
well, there is no such thing as a Republican Party in Illinois, in the state of Illinois, but it swings back and forth between Democrat and Democrat light. So I think that the article is trying to establish a basis that Trump is tearing the country apart. And so they're going to come up with a bunch of radical examples. I mean, they were describing the governor of the state of Illinois working at blinding speed. Well, he's done virtually nothing.
But he's
what happened
he's
is
done
that,
at blinding speed.
Then they were citing the abortion law down in Alabama. But
he slows.
That was controversial.
Was because of instinct.
But does that mean everything's coming
down,
apart at
began
the
to come down
so
out of the fog? He was right underneath
I
it.
I kind of started looking at
he
the article.
Very,
like,
very
what is the agenda here?
Listen, I agree with you. There is an agenda here. On the other hand,
said, what do we do
I think
about
it's something for us to
because
monitor
he's always interested
because
in improving
there are demographic
his game. I remember hearing him speak about this.
The three of us have talked a lot over the last couple of years about Texas.
It was on television somewhere, and I said to myself, how do you play baseball
conservatives fleeing Texas
in a stadium where, because of weather conditions,
wherever they want to go? I don't know that, but when I looked at the Alabama, the Missouri, some of the laws that are taking place down south
when the Phillies played in Veterans Stadium between two rivers, very moist, lots of wind, and it was a bowl.
Infanticide.
You could not see
the governor gets a standing ovation for infanticide.
First of all, you get dazzled by the lights at night. Secondly, you have
the difference
with
I
the
have
wind
with the article,
off the Delaware.
Because I think you're spot
and
on. I think they're trying
wind
to pin
off the Delaware
on Trump.
Late September.
But listen, folks.
Early
yeah, yeah, but they're not like San Francisco. I'm telling you, I went to a playoff game. That was the one that Kaepernick was so good, and but it was one of the coldest games that I've been to because it was that bone-chilling cold. And, you know, I've been to a lot of games at Lambeau when it's cold.
Here's a Wisconsin gal talking about bone-chilling. That'd be pretty cold and damp.
It was cold and damp. And that kind of cold, I don't know, somehow colder than cold. But and they had a lot of trouble playing. I mean, the Packers had obviously had a lot of trouble playing. But it wasn't a pleasant game just to sit there. And I don't mind sitting in cold weather at Lambeau because you're dressed for it. I think the other thing is you figure it can't be that cold when you're in San Francisco, and it was. But I think it's a big change now they're in Santa Clara. they're not they're anywhere really close to the kind of there. Problems they had with the water in Santa Clara, although I haven't been at that stadium. I'd like to. It's on my list of stadiums to go to. I mean, the problem is I thought I'd get to every stadium, and now they're building new stadiums. So even though I was in Dallas, I haven't been to the newer stadium in Dallas. So
I understand that this is the last 3 years we can get to go to Soldier Field in Chicago. The Bears have signed a contract to move
California policies were there.
Just outside
but listen,
the city.
I talked about this on the air before. Yeah, I spent almost a year in Las Vegas.
Difficult
Nevada.
Problem for the city because they own the city of Chicago owns Soldier Field. They're going to lose their biggest, most lucrative tenant. They're going to have a problem. Who else plays there other than college football games?
That's interesting.
I'd like to get to Soldier Field.
And I would too. It's the You know, I've been to a number of Bear games, but it's always at Bennett Lambeau.
Yeah.
And I had a client who once had season tickets at Soldier's Field, but she, you know, sold them every year. But I would really like to go to a game there. And, I mean, that is Chicago. And, of course, that rivalry with the Packers is a good rivalry. I mean, it's an old rivalry, the oldest rivalry. But, you know, it's not like Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota is not a good rivalry. But where are they thinking of building that stadium?
They're going to go west and north in the direction of Milwaukee, about 10, 15 miles outside the city line, because they have the advantage of transporting people there by rail. They're closer to the interstate. Soldier Field, from what I read and from looking at it on a map, tough to get in and out of if you're driving. And although there is some rail traffic to get near it, you've still got a ways to go. And given up that's on streetcars and things like that. I think the loop may have a stop there, the subway in Chicago, the elevated to be more exact.
Yep.
But listen, it's very surprising to me that the Bears would want to leave a place like that, good setting, right on Lake Michigan.
Didn't they just do extensive updates to Soldier Field?
I think about 10 years ago.
Has it been that long? Wow.
Well,
that seemed like it was just 2-3 years ago, but you may be right, Bill.
But there, I can't believe, I know that area fairly well, and I can't believe that there's a lot of land around to build a stadium in that area west of. I mean, the thing is, the suburbs have now, you know, Northern Illinois University used to be out in the middle of the cornfields. And now, you know, it's the whole city has and the suburbs have pretty much encroached that it's really a metropolitan area now.
Exactly. I didn't check the details for the actual location of where the stadium is planned for, but I was very surprised that they would want to leave downtown Chicago. But in thinking about it, it makes sense. Soldier Field is what, from the 20s or 30s, and it's been rebuilt refurbished many times, and
that's what our opposition is. Again,
how many seats? But the Bears are looking for a mega stadium with all the modern conveniences.
And you just said it. There's no more.
What I think is they a lot of the people, a lot of the teams in the league have just gotten dazzled by how nice Las Vegas is.
You got to go and talk to the people.
Oh, really? Now, John, you actually saw the stadium in Las Vegas,
right?
Oh, yeah. It's big. It's beautiful. It's really. One of my clients was just there 2 weeks ago for that Monday night game, or maybe 3 weeks ago now, the Raiders and the Ravens game. Said it's just magnificent.
Well, of course, we can't not talk about a little incident with the coach there and what happened, and I think we heard about that during the Monday night game. I mean, what surprises me is how long the league seemed to have kept it under wraps. I mean, until it came out in the New York Times, there was quite, it's been going on more time than most of us know about.
Well, we don't agree on this policy change.
Any comments? John?
No comment from me.
Okay. No, you probably think he shouldn't have.
I have no comment, Pat. Okay. I have no comment. Moving right along, Bill, you have NHL hockey underway. Hope Springs Eternals for Devil Flyers. Ranger fans. The Islanders clearly are the class of the area. And, you know, it's just you have a lot of new faces, high draft picks, signings, and but I don't know, Bill, every year it seems like more of a crapshoot.
Oh, it certainly does. You know, the I watched the Islanders go deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs last year, and I said to myself, who are these guys?
Yeah, how are they doing this?
Well coached, they play well, they defend well, they win
goaltending. Do you think analytics has found its way into the NHL to some degree?
Way too much. The NHL has gone from the elbow to the head in the corners to Corsi statistics, meaning how long does your team have possession of the puck. And it's very interesting because Philly got a real bad year out of Carter Hart. The Philly gave up the most goals of any team in the NHL.
Poorest defense, yeah.
Bad defense. They finally parted ways with one of my favorites.
The Ghost.
The Ghost. Gotisbehere, who, of course, grew up in Florida and is now playing in Arizona, I think. They got him as far away as they could from Philadelphia in the hope that he can rebuild his game.
American investors
now,
lost $3.7 trillion of net worth
Arizona
in the fourth quarter of 2018
of NHL
when your portfolio's
Siberia.
Value decreases
you live
right
in Arizona,
before or
you
early
think
in your retirement.
Oh, you certainly do.
Yeah.
If you live most places, you feel the same about Philadelphia.
Well, that's only because...
That
never,
I agree with.
That's only because you've never slipped on a frozen cheesesteak outside of Pat's in South Philly.
That's an experience.
So you're a Pat's guy rather than Geno's.
I'm more of a Pat's guy than a Geno's guy. But I will tell
I'm not
you
sure
that.
I can tell the difference, honestly.
They're equally heart attack offenders. Yeah,
oh, but it's so much fun to get down to Philadelphia and go
I've
there.
I always loved South Philly. And when I lived in South Philly when I was in college, you know, the Eagles were a horrible team. And you could go watch the Eagles and get the Pat's cheesesteaks right at the end of the third quarter.
Takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds.
You know,
Franklin Field.
Yeah, well, it was Franklin Field where they did play, but when they built Veterans Stadium, which I think opened in 72.
Sounds right.
Yeah, 71 or 72.
You're listening to WHCR-TV.
That's where the Phillies play. They had a great
Radio.
Pitcher called Steve Carlton,
brought to you
bobblehead
by
I still have.
Chamber of Commerce,
the important thing, though,
the news
is
sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Getting back
Center.
To the Flyers is
Hunterdon Medical
this
Center
is Carter's
started
third
by
year.
Families
I think last year
families.
He must have had
inside
injuries. His head
of
wasn't
care.
On straight. Carter Hart
did
not play well. They've got...
led by our outstanding family medicine
defense.
Physicians
they
specialists.
Since drafted
Hunterdon Healthcare,
Retsalainen, who they brought in, Yandel, who they brought
if you
in.
Need
they've
a
got
physician,
a good crop of young
Hunterdon
guys
Medical
who
Center's
they've assigned to the Lehigh Valley
Service
Phantoms. I'm looking forward to seeing Phantoms
or
Bears
HMC,
over Christmas week.
Or visit us on the web at
www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored
now,
by the Hunterdon
now refer
Medical
to me
Center.
And the older,
Hunterdon Medical Center
and
was started parents by families
now refer to me as
for
Uncle
families.
Fun.
so,
Uncle Fun?
Fun, yeah.
Wow. I'd like to meet your relatives.
well, remember, a lot of
if you need
people
a physician,
in my wife's family
could
have easily been on Prairie Home Companion.
At 1-800-511-4-HMC.
The very interesting thing about Philly is that they've revamped the team. You can say that they blew the team up. Claude Giroux is still there. He's 33 years old.
USA Radio News.
How much of an extension they want to give him. They think he's got another 2 good years.
The
defense has been totally revamped.
We're
I've always been
a Keith
Yandel fan. He's a good defenseman. He's
tough.
He wins puck battles
in the corner.
The Flyers' biggest problem
daily cases are down.
47%.
That second pass to exit their defensive zone. 38%
over the past and 6 weeks.
They could not over the past 2 weeks,
most of the country has improved as well.
Unless
case rates are declining
really
in 39 states. Hospital rates are declining in 38 states.
The
Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller is pleading guilty after criticizing military leaders over the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Scheller facing charges that included disrespect towards superior officers, willfully disobeying a superior officer.
Right. They did.
They could not get past the
USA
very good
Radio
Islander
News.
Team, even though they
if you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV.
Which stands for the proposition that anything can happen in the playoffs, especially the NHL playoffs.
That's true. Let me ask you, though, because there's so many kids playing hockey today, so many more kids, are the teams getting better, or because there are more teams out there, that's diluted the talent?
I can't make up my mind about that. I think more kids are playing.
Oh, definitely.
And more kids are enjoying the game. And the kids are starting much earlier. There are six-year-olds on travel teams now. I have a friend whose grandson is six.
Greg Kelly,
and,
Rob Schmidt,
he's on a travel team.
Stinchfield, and
I talked to the
more.
Kid and his mom.
Find out why
and
America
she said,
is
I'm
tuning
them all
in to
over.
Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable
mom.
News channel. It's a source
a
you can trust. Newsmax
and,
is real news for real people.
So, the kid who is
members of the
probably
United
this big,
Auto Workers Union are now on strike against John Deere.
Showing me
employees
his
went on strike this
jersey,
T-shirt, rejected a wage deal with the farm equipment.
He went to his mom's
phone and
showing me some pictures
of
him skating.
There
was a
six-year contract. On
and
Sunday, the deal was rejected by 90% of union workers.
Now,
the strike shuts
the
down operations at 11 John Deere factories in Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and at distribution centers in Georgia and Colorado. Butterball is recalling ground turkey products due to possible foreign matter contamination.
Near
the company said they were recalling over 14,000 pounds of ground turkey that may be contaminated with extraneous materials, including blue plastic. 2.5 pound trays of farm-to-family Butterball all-natural ground turkey and 3 pound trays of quarter ground turkey are the exact.
Well, you know, there are a lot of good kids in sports in South Jersey. I mean, I can't tell you how many kids are recruited from South Jersey schools to play, for example, in the Big Ten and other colleges. They really do have
but,
some.
But it's interesting. They have six-year-olds on a travel team now have a skating coach. That's very interesting.
Indeed,
because,
you do.
Schedule
virtual
the woman
interviews
who's a skating and talk to candidates
right from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
According to this kid's
the
mom.
FDA
so
advisory
I was very
is
impressed
holding a meeting about booster shots for the Johnson & Johnson and Moderna coronavirus vaccines.
30 years
Director
ago,
of the Center for Biology, Evaluation, and Research, Peter Marks, says while vaccines are effective,
Montreal,
protection against the coronavirus
great
can increase over time.
And
over
the not-so-great skaters like a Dave Schultz in Philadelphia or Ross Lund.
But, you know, and I don't mean to cut you off, but the difference in the way skating was handled in Canada, completely different. You had these kids going and living away from their families at young ages. I mean, you just didn't have that here. Now, my grandson, who was in, I guess it's called the juniors, you know, he was recruited out of high school and played and lived away from home and played in those Midwestern teams or they're all over. He could not go on to college as, well, he went on to college, but he couldn't go on in hockey because he had a very bad concussion. But now what he's doing is he's working with the hockey coach at University of Wisconsin-River Falls. He's in college, but he's doing that because he can really help the kids who are in college based on his knowledge from before. But, of course, like any other sport, his ability to play was really cut short because of that concussion.
Well, it's interesting. The about you talk about skating. They don't just teach
all the noise out there today. Consider taking an
moving your legs
now
on the ice.
WHCR,
it's called power skating now. It's all about
today
building your torso, your upper body, your arms, and your hips to keep balance.
Oh, absolutely.
It became tremendously.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
I was watching Chamber of Commerce, a program about the Maple Leafs last night, strangely enough, on YouTube. And they were Austin Matthews, who's a tremendous center for the Leafs, was demonstrating his training routine with his skating coach. And what they did was they put sensors on his arms, his legs, and the rest of his torso. And they filmed him doing skating drills. And then they put him through a series, periodically they would film him as he was working out different parts of his body.
And once again, it is time for the Mike Hewitt Show, brought to you by Renegade River. Ready we are. Let's take this thing and run.
We are running. I'm telling you, folks. Listen, I am Mike Hewitt, co-host Miles Bauer and Ludwig von Wiedemberg.
How quickly you accelerate. How do you go from a standing stop or from going backwards to that quick burst going forward?
Listen, Miles Bauer, I got to ask you.
But isn't that pretty much true even, for example, in football? I mean, you know, you see some of these guys that...
cornerbacks that backpedal. They backpedal faster than... I can run forward, and I can run pretty
and
fast.
And they move sideways, and, you know, if they get a decent block, I mean, they're gone.
But remember, in football, you have more friction between...
We have cleats.
Yeah. You should be quicker cutting on grass than you can on ice, unless you do it right on ice. Remember, on ice, you're on a blade.
No, believe me, Bill. I grew up skating, but, of course, in Wisconsin, we only were able to do it on the ponds in the winter.
And remember, because,
but that was 8 months of the year.
Right. Remember, those ponds have irregular surfaces. Now we're on rinks where the surface is almost perfect.
Actually, though, I have to tell you, they would, what would happen is volunteer fire departments, they would come out and put water on the rink.
Yeah, they did that in Boston area, too.
And so that it wasn't as bad. I mean, you tried to go on a pond that, you know, was not flooded, and it was really bad. But they were good. Now, if they had built warming houses, it would have been even better. But, I can't tell you how many kids got frostbitten. But, you know, we grew up skating. On the other hand, there was one friend of mine. He actually raced with a team in Milwaukee. But other than that, you know, you just didn't have any indoor rinks, and you didn't have the opportunities that the kids have today. I mean, who would have thought that kids would be skating on rinks? I remember when I worked in Morristown, I had a number of friends, and some of them had to take their kids to the rink at 4 o'clock in the morning because that's when they had ice time.
Is that the Menin Arena?
Menin Arena.
Yeah. I've been in that arena. It's a nice place, but I think it was built in the 50s.
Oh, it was old, because back when I worked there, it was used almost 24/7.
So in the remaining few minutes we have, how about some predictions?
What about tonight, folks? How bad do the Eagles go down?
My prediction is 35-20 Tampa.
And I would go 40.
15, Buttigieg 14, and Camella's at 7.
18?
I'm hoping they keep it close. I'm hoping for 31-24.
And
the problem
that'd be respectable, you know? And
make it look
well, that would be great if they could do that.
Because... I'm hoping Jalen Hurts survives the game and plays again next week. It's a Thursday night game. It's kind of an oddball thing for Philly to have a Thursday night football game.
He's all talking about Medicare for All and everything now.
Usually you expect to see the Eagles Monday nights with Dallas or the Giants to come back into the general because he thinks he's a winner. So this is kind of an oddball
game. Well, I think the network has a little bit of egg on its face because they are putting a lot of energy NFC East teams in prime time. You had, you know, the Giants Thursday night. They're going to play the Chiefs on a Monday night. Here you have the Eagles tonight. The Cowboys have been on and will be on a couple of more times. So, well, look, I mean, and I don't know about the football team. I'm not sure about them. But you're talking, again, and Dallas isn't a huge market, but certainly Philly and New York, those are two of the top five markets in the country. So that has a lot to do with it.
Well, but also, I have to put one plug in for my Packers. At times at the Cincinnati game, you couldn't tell who the home team was.
That's right.
From the cheering. And they travel. Yeah. The Packer fans travel. They really do.
Packer fans do travel. And, I was pleasantly surprised at how well Obama has intentionally
not. Cincinnati's an up and coming team. I think Burrow's for real. Good quarter.
Yep.
But more than that, they've drafted quality players the last two or three drafts. They've drafted in the top two or three picks, and they've acquired two or three players each year. You do that 3-4 years in a row, and you can build a roster.
I think they're showing too many NFC East teams on Thursdays and Monday nights.
Yeah.
I think they're doing that for a reason.
He has peaked too early.
Competing the first against teams with much better records
are very far left.
They want to show.
They want the market. They want that audience. And it's economics. The NFL is a disguised dollar sign. The NFL shield is actually a dollar sign by any other name.
And let's remember, those of us who are really diehard fans, we haven't
actually has to go there for lunch.
Well, no, but we don't need the Monday night. We watch every game because we get it on satellite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we get the package, the NFL package. And the real fans also get the college.
Well, let's see what happens because we're just hitting the 6 o'clock hour.
But I have to make one comment.
Yes.
Anybody out there who has Rutgers tickets for November 6th when they play Wisconsin, I would love to see the game. And frankly, Rutgers might win because Wisconsin is just abysmal this year.
They're having an off year, and Rutgers is up
and
coming.
They're having a terrible year.
I mean, they stayed within 5 touchdowns of Ohio State. They're looking pretty good.
Well, anybody staying within 5 touchdowns of Ohio State, except maybe Michigan, looks very good.
Anyway, my prediction is the Giants will win the Dodgers series, and then they'll roll Atlanta, and you know, we'll be on the air again before that. I think, or maybe not. They may be able to.
So
beat
you
them.
Think the Giants?
I think it'll be the Giants, and I got to tell you, the Red Sox used to. I think this thing goes 7 games, and it's almost a coin flip. Obviously, I'd like the Red Sox to get back. One of the oddball things that is coming up from that is San Francisco has a kid on the team named Mike Yastrzemski, who is the grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, and you might have a World Series where, you know, you'd wonder how Carl would be rooting with that one. But anyway, folks, thanks for spending time with us. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes. And sports guys, Bill Wolfson, John Manfreda, Pat Smith, have a great weekend. Have fun watching sports, whatever they are. And as Bill would say,
get off that couch.
Get off that couch. He's having a senior minute.
Get up off that couch, folks. It's going to be a rainy Saturday, but a good Sunday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Identified Miles Bauer, and that is education. Because the education that I got in the 60s in elementary school is not the education that my grandchildren are getting in their schools. And that's not to say all of it's bad.
But the ones your grandkids are getting aren't even the ones your daughters and myself
absolutely
got.
Absolutely agree with that.
It's changed so much in our 20 years.
Yep, absolutely agree with you on that. It's changed. And what do I always say? Abe Lincoln, the philosophy in the classroom of one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm real close. And that tells you, if you think right now it's bumpy, you better strap in, because it's going to get way, way, way worse.
Yeah, we got a presidential candidate now talking about revolution on the stump, and you're like, what? Can you imagine?
Who was that?
Bernie. This is a political revolution. Well, we have to take over.
But listen, he's saying the same thing we've been saying for several years on this show. folks, we are engaged in a cold civil war.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give Bernie kudos for at least being honest, because we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it somewhere during the show today. But I've said all along there can't be a civil war because the divide runs through families, cousins, and brothers. And
it did back then, though. Brothers shot brothers.
But listen, it did. But the other thing that you're seeing right now is coalition within the states. The states that are liberal are going more liberal. The states that are conservative are going more that. Listen, folks, stay with us because we've got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
RenegadeRiver.com, America's new hunting, camping, and survival store. Lightweight hiking all the way to large family tents, even inside children's play tents. Camping and emergency lighting gear. Top shelf Rothko outerwear. First aid. And the full line of rugged folding Montague bikes for in-town touring or out in the middle of nowhere. You'll find Mountain House freeze-dried foods for camping and emergencies. And yes, of course, firearms. There's a lot to check out, all at low prices. RenegadeRiver.com, family-owned and growing fast. RenegadeRiver.com, because you deserve it.
This weekend.